chapter 12, verse 2 is where we will hang our hat today, but we're not going to pull that. We're going to ask if you will keep your Bible open, because we're going to go other places. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ is our supreme example of the Christian race. The Lord Jesus was a participant in the race himself. You heard it read in the verse, the creator, the author and the finisher of our faith. An author is a person that writes something, that begins it. And the finisher brings it to a conclusion. In races and relays, they have people that are starters. Then they have people that are finishers. The starter can't finish, and the finisher cannot start. Oh, they may be in that position, but they will not do the job that they are supposed to do. Even in baseball, when it comes down to pitchers, they have starters and they have closers. Sometimes if you watch the Atlanta Braves or the Tampa Bay Rays, they'll bring a pitcher in just to pitch to one batter. But then that same pitcher does not start ball games. Everybody got something special that they can do. And Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ ran this Christian race, and he did not make a mistake in running this race. He ran it perfectly, and he completed and consummated the race to the finish. He didn't start it and quit in the middle of the stream. He went all the way to the end. When Satan concocted up the cross, Christ was already ready for the cross. He was born on his way to Calvary. Before time was time, as we knew it, he was on the way. Because you heard me say it, and it was evidenced this morning in Sunday school class. He sees us at three places at the same time. Yesterday, now, and tomorrow. He sees us in all those places. So therefore, nothing that happens is a surprise to God. You being here today. Yeah, you didn't surprise God. You might have surprised somebody else by being here, but you did not surprise God. Because he knew you were going to be here. When you didn't know, when you thought you wasn't coming this morning, he knew you were coming. Because some of you, when you went to bed last night, might have made up your mind, I don't have anything to wear tomorrow, so I'm not going. But God knew that you were going to be here, because nothing surprises him. You need to be here today so you can find out why you are looking unto Jesus. Point number one. We are looking unto Jesus for salvation. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Gospel of St. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the chapter where we get a snapshot, a glimpse of a man called Nicodemus. And Jesus was telling him what you must do to be saved. Nicodemus was doing something some of us have done or still are doing. We are searching for eternal life. We are looking for what it takes for us to have eternal life. And this passage tells you that Christ is your salvation. Nicodemus got confused in that passage. He got confused by it when he said, you must be. Back up in there when you're reading the third chapter. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus, being an intelligent and an educated man, wondered how he could be born again. I am old. Can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? But Christ said he must be born again. He let Nicodemus know that there was another birth. Help me, Holy Ghost. And can I just get you to go with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. When Jesus talks about, he says, if I must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Let me help you, because I know some of you are probably not going to read it, but you need to go back and read the 21st chapter. Moses and the children of Israel was out in the wilderness, and they were sinning. They were not doing what God wanted to do, and some serpents got in the midst of them. And the serpent started biting them, and everybody that the serpent bite would die. But then they came to Moses, and Moses interceded for them. See, that's why sometimes you need to have prayer partners. Because sometimes you can't make it you can't make it all the time. So you may need somebody else praying for you. You know how it is when you need something from somebody and you can't get to them. You know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that can get to somebody. And that's what happened. They had messed up and they felt like they couldn't get to God. So Moses, would you go to God first? And Moses went to God. God, the same serpent that bit him, help me, Holy Ghost. There's a message right there. The same thing that got you in that stuff, the same thing can get you out of it. But you got to use it to the advantage of God. God had Moses to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole and said, Moses, stick this pole up and tell them that everybody that have been bitten, that look up at the serpent, will be healed. But you got to look up. You can't look in. You can't look out and you can't look down. You got to look up. For somewhere it said, for all of my help comes from the Lord. And so Moses fixed that serpent, and they looked up at the serpent. And those that looked up at the serpent, because they were obedient to the man of God, God healed them because of their obedience. You got to be obedient. You got to submit to somebody. You either submitted to Jesus the Christ or you are submitted to the devil. There are no in between. You can't straddle the fence. You either on God's side or you on the devil's side. When they looked up, they got healed. Help me, Lord. If I don't get anything else across, let me get this across. Listen, there are some hard-headed, stiff-necked people, and they all are not out there in the world. Don't look around at nobody else. Keep looking at me, because you may be sitting beside a stiff neck and a hard-headed person that will not look up to Christ to be saved. Some of those hard-headed people that heard what Moses said still wouldn't look up, because some of them continued to die. So, why are you telling us that? Because there are some people that know that Christ died on a cross, and they still will not look to Christ for their salvation. And some of them in the church, they're going to do it. They're going to be good enough by themselves to get saved. But I stop by to tell you, you need to look. And when you look up to him, you need to look in faith, believing and knowing that God will do just what he said. He said, I will heal you. I'll take him. You have to believe that. Sometimes I said, I know I can't explain it. I'm messing up at it. But you just got to believe. You just got to know. You got to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ will save my soul. I can't put it on paper and show you, but I know that Christ has saved my soul because of the way that my life is going and the way things are going in my life and the way that I know feeling doesn't have much to do with it, but I feel feel so much better. When things go wrong, that's all right. Nothing gets to me that have not come by God. Whatever, you can't stop me from reaching my destination, but you can help me reach it. You can't stop me, because if I'm walking the way God would have me to walk, you can't stop me from reaching my destination. You can help me to get there and think you're hurting me, but you can help me because it will make me a better person. We need to stay with God. We need to keep looking to Him. Nothing or nobody else can save you. I can't save you, but I can lead you to Him who can and who will save you. And you have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sinner. The sinner. And can I just tell you who that is? That's all of us. There's not a one of us that He did not die for. You might think that He didn't die for you, but He did. You have sin. You might not have it in the now, but you did in the yesterdays. And any sin needed to be paid for. And only Christ could pay for your sin. You can't pay for it. You can't be good enough to get forgiven for your sin. You need Christ in your life so you can get forgiven for your sin. Those who look to Him in faith, are born again. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. You are born again when your life turns around. When you start all over again. I know now everything is on computer, but I'm old school. I remember when in the school system they had what they call cumulative records. They had it was a manila folder. See, some of you shaking your head. You remember too, don't you? Whatever they would put on that folder was what counted. If you were third grade and you were, a child with a lot of energy that stayed in situations that were not good, that was written on your record. And when you went to the fourth grade, that fourth grade teacher got that record. And they said, uh-oh, this little girl is going to be a problem. And no matter whether she was a problem or not, that teacher thought she was a problem. But when you're born again, Christ takes our lives and He erases. And I'm glad you asked. I heard you. He takes the red blood, the red pure shed blood of His on Calvary, and put it on your record. And it makes it clean. See, that's the born again that happens to us. Christ's shed blood takes away all of your sin. And it's clean. And then you can start all over again. That's why, brothers and sisters, when you're born again and you first start out, you don't need to try to do a whole lot. You don't be lazy like some of these people that's been in it for a while. After they've been in it for a while, they think they know everything. They don't have to do everything. They've done enough. I can let some of these young people do it. No. You got to stay there and do your part. Because Christ didn't stop dying. He just kept right on, and we need to stay with it. And when we stay with Him, looking for salvation, He will provide it. And when you get saved, you don't get saved to quit. You get saved to start. You start all over again. No newborn baby quit living after they get born. They are just beginning. You got to change them. You got to feed them. You got to clothe them. You got to burp them. You got to do everything for them. That's why I watch some of you and you just mess up. And if I can, I just come behind you and clean it up. And if somebody else, sometimes I have some of the other people to clean up what you've done. But you are trying. You are working for God. And some of us, thank you, Lord. Won't do anything because to you, you don't know how to do anything. I got a question to ask you that you don't need to answer. How many times did Christ die? And had he died before? The answer is no. And he died one time, and he did an excellent job at it. So he died so you can make mistakes. You make mistakes. There's a statement that I have logged in my memory, and I think I found it from Apples of Gold or something. It says, those people that don't make mistakes don't do anything. The only people that don't mess up are the people that sit around and watch you and talk about what you made, the mistakes that you've made. You just keep doing for God, and God will fix you so you'll be all right. But sin is what we're talking about getting out your life. You need to get it out your life. And don't think that because you get saved, you will not sin anymore. You will. You will. But you have an advocate, which is called the Holy Spirit. You don't intentionally sin. But you are sinning and don't even know you're sinning. There's some things you should have done today that you have not done. Before you go to sleep tonight, ask him to forgive you. And he will. He will. You must be born again. Point number two. The book of Hebrews. Chapter 4. Verses 14 and 15. And this is the one where I tried to stay all Wednesday and Thursday when I was doing this. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Looking unto Jesus in temptations and trials. Looking unto Jesus when we are in temptation and trials. When we start looking unto Jesus in faith, that begins a battle. That begins a fight. That begins a fight between the flesh and the spirit. For it says they war against one another. This flesh that we're in, it has a mind of its own. This flesh knows what it wanted to do. This morning at 5:30, mine wanted to stay in the bed. Did not want to get up. And that's probably why some of you were late for Sunday school. Probably why some of you were late for church. You were listening to your flesh. You would not get up. But this flesh is at war with the spirit because the spirit has an intention to want to do what's right. But the flesh has a mind of its own because we have listened to our flesh for so long that to the flesh it is in control. And we have to show the flesh that it's not in control. And then on top of that, you got the forces of evil that would join in with the battle, and the forces of evil fights with the flesh, and then you have two against one. But if you're warring in the spirit can conquer all the things that the flesh in this world has to offer. But we need to know that we need to look to Jesus in the trials and the temptations that come in our life. Nothing happens to us that we cannot get through if we continue to look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Yes, things are going to get difficult. Things are going to get bad. But you knuckle down and you stay on your knees. If you stay on your knees, it's hard to stumble because you don't move as fast. And if by chance you happen to fall, you'll be closer to the floor if you're on your knees than you were if you were standing up. So you stay on your knees. You continue to pray and talk to God. If you really want to tick the devil off, if you really want to tick him off, in the middle of your stuff, When he knows or he thinks he got you down, you start praising God. He says, if you just call on the name of Jesus, every now and then when things are going bad and I don't know what to say, I remember the word Jesus and I just call his name. And every now and then when you call his name, he strengthens you. You have to call it. And see, sometimes we have to get our back against the wall and don't have anywhere else to go or nobody else to turn to. Then we call him. You call him and he answers, and he does not act as if he's in a hurry. There are no emergencies for Jesus Christ. The only emergency is that I waited too long. If I would have called him when the problem first arose, things would not have gotten as bad. But trying to get through something without Jesus Christ, you just can't make it. I wrote on my program in here a one line and said, I never would have made it without you because I failed to call you when I should have called you. I felt like I could do it myself. But every now and then, you need to just call him. Call him. Call Jesus, the Son of God. Stop by and see about me. I'm in trouble down here. Yes, Lord, I know I messed up. You didn't do it. But God, will you come by and see about me? I know you're everywhere. But God, make me where I know that you're present with me in all of this. I know you said you would not leave me, not forsake me. But God, right now, I feel like my flesh tells me that you're not with me. But my spirit, man, says that you're there because I'm trusting in you. I'm believing you in my trials and my tribulations. I know that you're there. You have to know that. You have to live that. You have to eat and sleep that. You have to know. And I've been thinking about this last. It's the last lines of verses in a poem called Invictus. It says, my head may be bloody but unbowed. That's the way a child of God walks. You walks around with a bloody head. But your head's not bowed. What do you mean? You may beat me all upside my head. Blood get to running down all over and I can't hardly see. But I won't bow my head. I'm going to keep my head up because I'm looking to the hills from which cometh my help. I know after a while, by and by, the daylight's going to come. The resurrection sun is going to come. And things are going to go better. I'm in my trials and my temptation. I know that he's there. And see, God, stuff come at you. That's the enemy. He tries to discourage you. You need to let him go. To let him know that for God I live and for God I die. You need to let him know that. So, well, Satan, you got this, got here. And then you need to look to the hill, look down on the inside of you, and see. Say, God, you need to remember, old man, Job, who the devil had to go by and talk to God before he could attack Job. And God did that for Job. He'll do that for me. He'll fix a way. Nothing. Somebody said this morning, he won't put any more on you than you can bear, but he sure will push you to your limits. He'll make you stay on your knees. Sometimes I just think God sat there and looked at us when we're going through what we're going through, and he's thinking into me. He's thinking in his mind, said, "Yeah, if yesterday or the day before you would have stayed on your knees a little longer and talked to me about it before you tried to do what you were trying to do." The mistake that a lot of believers make, they want to do things on their own. You ought not to do nothing. Nothing is what you ought to do before you talk with God about it. You ought not even wear the clothes that you wore today unless you talk to God about it. God, is this all right? He gave it to you and it would be all right. But you need to talk to God about situations in your life. Don't let the devil discourage you Because that's what he will do. He'll try to discourage you. And listen to me. This thing that we're in, this flesh that we're housed in, he will attack it. And then when we get just a little bit of pain, don't take a whole lot of pain. The doctor always asks you, say, what is the pain between 1 and 10? 10 being the highest. Some of us will say 1. If I got any kind of pain, I don't want it. I don't want it. I want to get rid of it. No, you got to go through something. You got to go through something to appreciate the good days. You got to go through, but don't let it be because you've done something. Let the devil be trying to make you turn away from God, but you stand your course. You fight your battle. All you got to do to defeat the devil is call on the name of Jesus. The devil will want you to forget about him. He won't want you to think about him. Our body is vulnerable to diseases, so our mind is vulnerable to sin. Sin will attack you in your mind. That's the first place that he attacks, is in the mind. But you got to tell him to flee. Don't dwell on your situation. Leave it. Turn it over to God. Give it to God. We give him the things that we don't want. You need to not want the problem that's coming in your life. When trials and temptations come, give them over to God. Point number 3, looking unto Jesus when we are backsliders. Looking unto Jesus when we are backsliders. Luke chapter 22. Yeah. 54 through 62, I think. 54 through 62. What did I say? Luke 22. I'm sorry, not 24, 22. Did I say 22? Okay. I was looking at 24. I'll study that next week. 54. That's 23. I can't get to 22. 54 through 62. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about a space of 1 hour, After another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, a cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Looking unto Jesus when you have backslidden. This is talking about old backslidden Peter. Denying Jesus the Christ. When Jesus had told him that, Peter, you're going to deny me. Peter said, Lord, not me. Said, Lord, I'll die with you. Don't be so bold and brass and talk about what you're going to do. Just keep living. And you don't have to tell. That's the one thing I used to tell my two children. You don't have to tell people what you're going to do. You can show them a lot better than you can tell them. You can show the devil what you're going to do. It's real easy to solve a problem when you don't have a problem. When you don't have the problem of resisting sin, it's not a problem. You can do it, but you don't have the problem. Peter could do what he said until he got the chance. You heard me read it. He denied him, what was it, 3 times? Had an opportunity to stand up boldly for Jesus the Christ. Now let me say something. Don't y'all get angry with me. Don't you feel like you so much above Peter? Because we have done the same thing. When you're around the water cooler and they telling the off-color jokes. And you laugh too. If you don't do anything but get up and walk away, do that. But we stay there, and then on top of that, sometimes we are the instigators. But we were in church Sunday morning and Sunday night, and we were praising God, talking about how good God is. But then we deny Him. Help me, Holy Ghost. But now, Jesus will not walk away from a backslider. See, because everybody that's alive cannot be a backslider. I'm glad you asked. Because everybody don't have something to backslide from. Meaning that they have not received Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have, before you can backslide, you have to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You have to believe in Him and only Him. Peter believed that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. But yet when he had a chance to stand up and say it and admit that he was one of his disciples, when it comes down, when the rubber meets the road, it's when it's my turn. When it's my turn to get slapped upside the head, or I'm looking at what they're doing to him and they're going to do the same thing to me, I got a choice to make. That's not going to happen to me because, you know, this flesh says, no, you don't want that. And that's what Peter did. And then Peter remembered it when the Lord looked at him. And one of those movies that I've watched, in something, it might have been The Passion or Robe or something, they showed, you know how they can pan through one person and show the other person? They panned all the way through Peter and saw Jesus turn looking at him across the way. And that's when they said Peter went out. I don't know whether it happened like that or not, but the Bible says that he saw Peter at the appropriate time. But Peter knew one thing, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. If you know that, you know that there's a way to get back to Him. Looking unto Jesus when I'm a backslider. Your condition when you backslide, you turn and you walk away from God. They said the word backslider came from a Greek word that when they were putting cows in a chute running them up, the cows would put her front paws down and she would sit down on her hind. And they would try to make a move and she wouldn't go anywhere. When she pushed on her front, she'd go back. And they call it backslide. That's what Peter did. He had been with Christ. And now spiritually he was down like this. And when they confronted him, he started going away. That's why he denied him 3 times. We do the same thing. When we backslide, we're backing away from a stand that we have taken, a stand that we know is right, but yet we remove ourselves from that stand. We do not need to do that. That's the condition we're in. And once you do that, you need to come back to God. You know that once you were on fire for Christ, Now you're not. You gradually begin to backslide. You know, once in your life that when you came to service, all you wanted to do was praise God. And now when you come, all you find is something wrong with what's going on. You know, you're backsliding when you do that. When all you used to come because you just wanted to praise God, didn't matter what anybody else was doing. It didn't matter who was preaching or who was singing or who was praying. You still came to praise God. You allowed nobody else to determine that you didn't praise God, but now you do. If the deacon that I like's not lining to him, I'll sit there and I won't sing. Or if the preacher that's preaching, I don't like him, so I won't. You are giving other people too much authority. Thoughts in your life, you are allowing them to make you a backslider. That's why every chance you get, you ought to praise God, because you are praising God for nobody else but yourself. You're doing what you're doing because of the love that you have for God, and you know better than anybody else how He have loved you, how He have taught you, how He have done what He's done for you. You know that better than anybody else. You know where He brought you from. But now you get a chance to witness for Him and let everybody know what side you're on, and you backslide. You get to going away from it. No, you got to stand up to it. You got to know that you know that you know that you know. Once you were a faithful servant of Christ, now you afraid to let anybody know that you know Christ. You backslide. But then Peter went out and wept bitterly and started cursing. But then he remembered something. He remembered what Christ had done for him. Nobody, nothing or nobody can restore you like Jesus Christ. Nobody else can. Christ can take you through a situation, and you could have backslidden away from Him. But Christ can take that same situation that you backslidden in and use it to advance His kingdom if you allow Him to use you. Don't glorify what you've done. Peter didn't glorify this, but he probably preached to somebody about what you'll do. But you have to know that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and He can and will restore you to where He needs for you to be so you can serve Him. A backslider, somewhere in the Word, I remember it said he's married to the backslider. So if you backslid, that means that he have connected himself with you before you did it, but you got to come out. You got to come out. You can't stay there. Point number four. Looking unto Jesus as our example. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2:21-25. Who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope may be in God, seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto an unfeigning love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withered, the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Looking unto Jesus, which is our example. Nobody is a better example of Jesus than Jesus Christ is for us to look unto for our salvation. If you look unto others, guess what will happen to you? You will be disappointed. All the rest of us will disappoint you some kind of way. That's why you don't need to put all your trust in man. You need to trust in Jesus Christ. You need to trust in me because you trust in Jesus Christ. I do not need to be at the top of anybody's list of trust Only Jesus Christ need to be at the top of that list. Because if you trust in him, the people that he bring into your life, some of them will be to make you better. Some of them will be to try to tear you down. But none of them can change the course that God have for you. You must walk with him because Christ is your example of what you need to do and how you need to live. There are some causes of our failure, and that's because we will not constantly receive the word of God. You cannot receive the word of God today and not receive it tomorrow. It has to be a consistent thing. You have to do it all the time. You have to do it so much that you do it without thinking. Nobody, when you woke up this morning, you said, well, I guess I better start breathing. You just did it. And that's the way it needs to be. You need to be about serving God, about receiving Christ. It needs to be as I live and breathe. Christ is my example. I'm going to do like he said for me to do. I might not be popular with everybody. They might not like me. That's okay. But I'm going to do like Christ said for me to do because he is my example. Christ, if Christ is your example, in the end, you will be right. And where we spend eternity is what's important. And that's what Christ will determine for us. If your confidence is in others, you can bank on them failing you. They will not do everything that's right for you. They may do something. The devil will make you think he's doing some things right to entice you to get you to do what he wants you to do. So you need to know what you're doing is for Christ. And just in case somebody may be thinking, Christ will disappoint me also. The devil would want you to think that. That's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. Jesus Christ will not disappoint you if you are walking the way he would have you to walk. That does not mean that everything you ask for is going to come lickety-split. A diamond that all of our sisters like, a diamond is a piece of coal that stuck to the job. A diamond is made in the earth, and it's in that coal that they burn in heaters. But it stays in the earth, and the heat from the earth burns all the other stuff from around it. And then it, because of the heat of the earth on the inside, it makes a piece of coal a diamond. That's you too. Because your heart was just as black as any coal you've ever seen. But because you allowed Christ, the heat of the world, to stay, to keep burning you, and it burned off. But when you allow the Spirit of Christ to come on the inside, then he works it and he burns it, and then it burns off all that superfluous stuff around you, and it makes you shine like a diamond. So don't worry about the heat. All the heat does from the world is make you better. If everything goes nice and smooth and comfortable, you won't get better. Most of us that are here today have gone through trials that should have taken us down. But because we were trusting in Christ, we yet stand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other grounds is sank in sand. When you depend on God, the heat from the world, all it will do is make you better. But you got to withstand the heat. It gets hot sometimes, but you got to withstand the heat because you're walking with Christ. When you walk with God, things will not go always the way you want them to go or what you think is best for you. But you will go, what you go through, God will get the glory from it. That's what's important. When you look to Christ as your example, he will always take you to higher ground. He won't take you down. He'll take you to higher ground. And sometimes when he takes you to higher ground, it seems like you are going down because the world and everybody else will be dumping on you. We'll be dumping on you. We'll be dumping on you. But do like the old goat that fell in the well. Shake it off and pack it under your feet. And after a while, you'll walk out on top. That's what happened to believers. You remember Calvary, don't you? when Jesus, that day when they took him down off that cross, the devil thought he had him. He thought he had him because everybody else that had died, he had them. But when Jesus died, he didn't have him. He thought he did. That's the way it is with believers. He think he has you down. But if you trusting in Christ, you'll come out on top. But you have to know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're trusting in Jesus Christ. And when you're trusting in him, when things are going bad, don't you give up and quit. Some football coach conned a phrase that we don't rebuild. We just reload. That's the way it is with believers. Believers just need to reload. When you think that you can't go any farther, stay on your knees a little bit longer. Stay on your knees a little bit longer and ask God to show you what he needs for you to do. Maybe to bring somebody else into your life to tell you what he wants you to do. But you need to know without a shadow of a doubt that you can look to Jesus Christ, who is your example. He's our example. And we can look to him for salvation. We can look to him when we have backslidden. And we can look to Christ for whatever we're in need of. But then if you're going to look to him, you can't just wait till you get in a situation. Got to be 24/7, 7 days a week. You can't put him on and take him off like you do clothes. It have to be every day. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you this, and I'm going to get out your way. When you look to Jesus, and you show enough looking to Jesus, you're going to have to go through some stuff. You're going to have to go through some stuff because the world was not real fond of Jesus the Christ. And they are not going to be fond of you. And sometimes they won't even know that they are the problem that you having. And sometimes you having one and nobody else is the problem but you. And that's the hardest one to solve. When I am my biggest problem, because I cannot see myself as being my problem. But most of the time, if we can get ourselves out of the way, God got a blessing for us. You have to get yourself out of the way and let God bless you. Forget about what you think. Think about the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, God will do it. And remember one thing, one other thing. You are not God. You are not God. Somebody said, I don't know much. I know three things. I know you're not God. I know I'm not God. And I know that he is. If you can get that in your spirit, you know that he is God. And he will not lead you down a path that's not going to get him the glory. And if he gets the glory, sometime you're going to have to go through something. Mm-hmm. You'll be ridiculed. Nobody seems to like you. You got to go by yourself. The only friend you have is up there. And that's the best one to have. Trust in him and lean not to your own understanding. Looking unto Jesus, when you look to him, he will help you. We'll extend an invitation. If you don't know Jesus, this is your time. This is your time to come to him to give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. Lord, I've been living this life, but I've messed it up and I've got it in a bad situation. But now, God, if I'm putting my life into your hands, and I'm asking you to take control, to work in my life, and to do those things that you know that need to be done in my life. Will you come and commit yourself to Christ? We need to commit into Christ is a commitment, and is a lifelong commitment that needs to be made, and need to be made only to Christ. If you commit your life to Him, He'll take your life right where it is now and will turn it around and use it to His advantage for the building of His kingdom. Will you come?